Hey, Dan Libman.
Hi, Spencer Tritt.
We are out here on the eastern outskirts of the WNIJ listening area.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we at right now?
I believe, call me crazy, but I think this is Kane County Road. It's actually a very nice little scene here. Can you hear the birds and the Priuses? There goes a Prius.
Yes, we're right next to the Fox River, and we're here to check out a little hidden treasure in this forest right here.
This is our second, well, I guess what we're looking for is a grotto.
It's a grotto, and it's our second grotto.
It's our second grotto in Under Rocks, and back in 2020, do you remember 2020?
Wow.
For you young listeners, I don't know if you know your history, but there was something called a pandemic happening, and the Under Rocks team, we went out, Spencer and I, and we found a grotto in Stillman Valley, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Sort of hidden in plain sight on a busy road, but
it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, though, like surrounded by cornfields and a couple farms and things. And, but this, we're kind of in the middle of Geneva here, in the middle of a city, but it feels like we're also in the middle of nowhere because there's a lot of trees around here.
And we were given a map. This is so far out of the way that we had to be given a map, but we'll see if we can find it.
Yeah.
And we should say also that this was suggested to us by my friend and colleague, Ryan Shepherd, who thought that this might make an interesting Under Rocks, and I think it will.
All right, Ryan, you've sent us on this adventure.
Here we go.
We're going into the woods to find this grotto.
You see how this bent twig on the ground? See, Spencer? And there's some broken blades of grass by the sign that says Geneva Grotto with the big arrow.
That's how you know it's
that
way.
You know.
The broken twigs. What a picturesque little grove we're in right now.
And it says the grotto's under restoration.
And here we are. Wow. It's a lot bigger than the first grotto we visited.
It really, yeah. And it's a lot more hidden.
Right. We're in the middle of Geneva, but it kind of does feel like you're in the middle of nowhere right now.
We're like a quarter of a mile from a really expensive wine bar.
My name's Patrick Murtaugh, and I'm in the Knights of Columbus, and that's how I found out about this. And we also live in the area. We've been here since 94, and just across the river. And so, this is kind of a labor of love that came along unexpectedly. And, we've been part of the community for over 30 years here, and we want to see this improve.
You said the grotto is a kind of a labor of love for you?
Exactly. Well, I'm a Catholic, and these things are kind of rare.
The grottos
mm-hmm. themselves, but this particular one is unique in that this is a Sacred Heart grotto. Most of the grottos are Catholic apparitions with Mary. And so this is a rare one. And the history of the grotto, they talked about doing a Marian, but since they were missionaries of the Sacred Heart, they decided to make it a Jesus
right.
grotto.
Okay.
So he doesn't usually show up as, you'll see Mary show up all the time.
Right.
And
in the
Joseph.
Grotto, we went to a grotto in Stillman Valley, and that's a Mary grotto.
That's right. And
yeah.
So this is a very, very rare grotto. And for this community here, it was part of the seminary. But at the time, it was sold to the county. Rob Sherman, the renowned atheist, was going around suing municipalities. And I heard a rumor that the judge said, "You're not touching the grotto." I could never find it. Well, it turns out it never went to court. They settled out of court, and so there's no record of the agreement to leave the grotto as is. So
he was suing because this was on
public
ground?
Oh, public okay. property.
Hi.
This is your early, so you can take the whole thing.
No, I got you.
Dan, nice to meet you.
Spencer,
nice to meet you.
Yeah, we're already done. Anyway,
yeah, okay, good.
This is the mastermind.
I'm Bob McQuillan. I live in Batavia.
We were talking before, right when you came up here, about how usually they're dedicated to Mary, but this is a unique one here?
Yeah, this one is dedicated to Jesus because the seminary, which is on the top of the hill here, was the Sacred Heart of Sacred Heart Seminary.
Right.
It was a what they call a minor seminary for high school kids. So it was a boarding seminary, and a lot of the kids went into the priesthood, and a lot of people didn't. It was, you know, their choice. And one of the guys that has helped us a lot is Ken Weisbrook, and he is a graduate of one of the last classes at the seminary. That was in 1972, Kane County bought the property because the school enrollment went really down. So the county bought it, and then it became the government center here for Kane County.
With the grotto that was already built, and that sort of went into disrepair at that point, or kind of got neglected?
I think it was really very, very well maintained until about 2013. There was some vandalism, but up until then, it was almost pristine. It was the best kept secret around. Mm-hmm. People knew about it. My kids knew about it, but they didn't tell us. I learned about it in 2014 when it was really defaced, and it was in the, I think it was the Chronicle. And when they wrote about it, my buddy and brother Knight of Columbus, Tim Cooper, he brought me out here early in the morning. He invited me to breakfast, and we came out, and he said, "Follow me." And we came here, and then he walked me down that path into the woods. I was a little nervous, wondering, what did I do something wrong?
I'm assuming the signs weren't
right.
up at that point.
They weren't up.
Yeah.
And when I saw the grotto, I couldn't believe that this was even here, and it had been completely whitewashed. It wasn't damaged in any way other than with white paint. You know,
okay.
And everything was painted. All of the symbols were whitewashed out.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's when he says, "Pat, we've got to do something about this." And that's when we started asking ourselves, what are we going to do about this? And it took until Bob actually showed up. And something he said in an email to the county woke them up, and we had been working on a contract, but suddenly they decided it's time to move. And that's when things really started, really in about 2017, I think.
So we worked out a maintenance agreement. At that time, it was a 3-year maintenance agreement,
right.
That we would be responsible for 50 feet in diameter around the grotto. And try to restore it back to its original beauty as much as possible.
The other grotto we visited was kind of out almost in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by farms and fields, and it was actually a man who had, it was either 4 or 5 sons in World War II, and he prayed that if the sons would come back, he would build this grotto. And
yeah.
Every son came back from the war, and so he built this by himself. Kind of out in the middle of nowhere. That was Stillman Valley, Dan?
Stillman
Valley,
yeah.
That's how it tends to work out. It's there's a coordination between nature and heaven. And that's where they meet.
If you look at the creek now, it's completely different than it was just a year ago. It had really overgrown with trees, and the county kind of stepped up and said, you know, we got to do something, not only for the grotto, but also to save the creek. And they came out, and they had a couple of contractors come out and spent probably a month.
They were really dedicated to the project. One of the father-son team, he's told Rob Linke is the guy who did the design for the creek stabilization. And he says, "Save me the big boulders because it needs to babble right here by the grotto." And they really had a genuine care, and they understood what we were going after.
Yeah. Wow.
Even though it was really just to preserve the creek.
So you guys came here, and you must have been stunned I know it was in disrepair at that point, but.
Absolutely. I mean, look how big it is.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that startles you, is like, this is really big.
And it looks like it's sort of like it opens up kind of. It's almost like there's an embrace happening.
Right. Mm. And you feel this space here when you get up on that first step and you see how detailed this mosaic is. This is it's mosaics on top of mosaics, which is...
What do you mean by that?
Well, you can see the mosaic pattern of the rocks that built, that are the structure.
Yeah.
But there's also these mosaic panels.
Oh, yeah, the inlaid ones, yeah.
This one here is the monstrance, which depicts the Eucharist, which is, Catholics believe, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So that's very special. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that this particular panel took the most abuse. This was completely knocked out. You can see how it's all redone. So that one had to be completely replaced.
I'm trying to imagine if I were a vandal or something in the 1980s, why would I attack that in particular? Well, I guess 'cause it's pretty, or?
Well, this is one of the questions that a lot of people ask.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church has the Eucharist. Uh-huh. No other churches have that.
Right.
And this is what is attacked the most. And it's a very interesting conundrum.
Yeah.
If this isn't real, why attack it? Mm-hmm. If this isn't the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. So this is a serious thing. And restoring it, when I said this is a labor of love, it's a labor of love for our Lord. Now, look, I want you to look at that restored statue. We couldn't get the original. Right, Bob?
Yeah.
We looked all over the world, literally. No, they took it when they sold the property.
I see.
And so the missionaries, either they can't find it or they have it somewhere. I think they can't find it.
One of the priests has told us that Sacred Heart missionaries really aren't around anymore. Mm-hmm. And they have their headquarters in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And he believes that it's in their headquarters. Oh. And that statue used to go to the top of the dome, and it was made in Italy, special.
Yeah,
so
if we could step back, actually, and kind of look at the whole thing, if you could describe for people just listening right now what the overall structure is like.
Well, it's completely stone, the whole entire structure. It's got an arch in this very center, with a cross on the top, and behind that cross is the date, 1929, so that's how we knew it was done then. If you look to the left-hand side, it has the earth, the color stones in the earth, and actually the countries are laid out too. That's in brown. And above that is the Sacred Heart symbol with a green circle around it and yellow rays coming down. And you're going to ask me what the Latin is, Patrick's going to say.
Ignem veni mitter, which is probably, I'm wrecking the Latin on that, which is, I've come to cast fire, probably one of the most controversial verses in the Bible. And because they say Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but the sword, to divide the people who believe in him and the people who don't. And that's he's making it very clear. He's God. He's the only way. That's why that's very controversial, and that's right there.
You said, I've come to cast fire.
I've come to cast fire. And how I wish the world was already burning. Now, this one is much kinder. Ego sum lux mundi. I am the light of the world. And that's depicted by a lighthouse that's got the waves of humanity crashing against it. You can see a crescent moon and the stars. And then, of course, you've got these very old symbols.
Right up there.
Right? Yeah. The Alpha and the Omega, right. The beginning and the end, which is very, very early Christian symbolism.
I did have just a couple more questions about the restoration. Why was it all painted white? Was that to cover up graffiti, or why did they do that?
Yes. A gentleman came out, was upset that it was all graffitied, He thought he was doing great by using whitewash. And yeah. Unfortunately, whitewash is the toughest thing to get off.
I don't know how they did, how they got that off. It looks like you would never know that this was covered in white paint.
We used various concoctions of different things. And it came down to, Sherman Williams makes a product. And you put it on, and then you put Saran Wrap over top of it, leave it for 24 hours, and come back and brush it off. And then to get the inside the rocks, we use little wire brushes, tiny wire brushes.
So that's a meticulous process.
If you look at the front step of the, in front of the front step of the grotto, you'll see that there's bricks that we've laid there.
Yeah.
And they're, that's really actually the way that we have fundraised for a lot of the restoration we've done.
Really, the Knights of Columbus started out with about $5,000 in donations. All the rest of the work we've been doing has come from these bricks.
Yeah, and we charge $100 for them, and we make a good amount of money on that. And there's all kinds of symbols that people have put on them, and it's really been very successful for us. We have some more to lay that are in my garage, and then that's the last section that we'll finish. As far as other fundraising that we've done, I
put together a list, Bob, because I knew they were going to ask, how else can we help?
How else can we help?
That's right.
How can our listeners help? They actually will want to help. How can our listeners help?
Well, probably the best thing is come out here and visit.
Okay.
Visit the grotto. Pick up a pamphlet and maybe buy a brick.
Okay.
Then the other thing I came up with is if you spot some trash in the woods on the way when you do visit, you can pick that up and take that to the trash. There's a trash bin out there by the shelter. And there's a broom here.
Yeah, like there's a little note on the broom that says, please help clean if you can.
I really like the fact that there is that community idea
and
here. They clean
they
up, pick up, and come visit. Yeah. But let's just say, for whatever reason, a person can't get out to Geneva. How can they find you on social media?
Well, they can find us at GenevaGrotto.org.
Okay.
And there will be instructions on how to join the Facebook group, which is probably the most active.
Okay.
Which is just Geneva Grotto. So it's Facebook groups at Geneva Grotto. The other thing you can do is if you definitely join that group, and we hooked this up for a Brother Knight who wanted to have a birthday fundraiser.
Oh.
And on Facebook, if you have an anniversary or a birthday, it gives you the option to run your own fundraiser. And these things have been coming through. I don't know if you've seen them. Bob is the treasurer. And you can raise a couple of $100 pretty easily off the friends in your Facebook group.
Right.
And it's very easy to do. It's all the instructions are there when you click on it. And you just look it up. We're in that list, Geneva Grotto.
Okay.
And that's another very easy way.
No, to buy a brick, it's very easy. The website for the company that does it for us is Polar, P-O-L-A-R, engraving.com/GGO. And that stands for Geneva Grotto Organization, which is our official 501c name. If you look on where the altar is, on the shelves of the altar,
I was going to ask about
organically, people started to leave holy cards and different remembrances of their loved ones that had passed away. And, you can just stand back here. And the one that really stands out to me is on the right-hand side on the top shelf of the little boy dressed in a fireman's outfit. And you can't see it from here, but he has oxygen through his nose. So he passed away probably when he was maybe 3, 4, 5 years old. And then we have pictures from the 1950s, it looks like, of the woman on the left-hand side. We have framed pictures. We bought, again, Christine's been fabulous. She found rocks that have slits in them. So she bought those, and that's what's holding up a lot of the cards.
Wow. It looks beautiful. I want to also point out that we've had all kinds of weather, and I'll check the cameras after a particularly strong blow, and none of those cards are moved. It's just interesting.
And then also, you tell the story about the bricks and the people coming up in the kayaks.
I'm glad you reminded me because I thought of that earlier. So we place these bricks here randomly. When they come in, we come out and we put some. And on the one particular day, we were placing bricks and a couple came out, a woman and her son.
Wait a minute, Patrick. I was placing bricks and you were talking to people that came up.
I tend to do more of the talking. You know, I don't want them to stop Bob from working. So they came out and they said, well, we want to know if our brick is being placed. And Bob says, I don't know what's his name. And I can't remember the name now.
Henry. No, I don't either.
Looks in his hand, and there is the brick that he was just about to place. Nice. The odds of that happening are spectacularly astronomical. Yeah. But moments after we finished talking with them, which might have been 30 minutes, another couple, a mother and daughter, for their dad and husband, had kayaked up the river. And then they step up here, and the exact same thing happens. What's his name? It was one of the Mendels.
Yeah.
And there it is, there almost tears in their eye, that they were there at the moment we were placing the brick so they could do it. Yep. And Bob, in both times, he handed them the brick and say, where would you like it placed?
Yeah.
And we placed that brick. So you can't make up this story.
No, it really, really is, first of all, a very peaceful and beautiful place to sit and kind of reflect. You come here right after a rainstorm, you can hear the creek, you can hear the birds, you can look at the trees. We have flowers over here in our garden. It is just a wonderful place to be, and the community has really, really accepted it. But again, we thank you guys.
We thank you.
We've had a lot of local publicity in the newspapers and a lot of traffic from that. Your
the Under
reach
Rocks,
is much larger than
we're global.
We've done it.
At Under Rocks.
Yeah.
And we want to thank everybody that helped. There's countless people who, most of them want to remain anonymous, who have helped in ways we can't know. Other ones like Rob and Christine, and they've done the heavy lifting, but a lot of people, they like to stay in the background, and they made this happen. And I don't have a way to thank them because they don't tell me their names.
Do you have anything planned for the 100-year anniversary in 2029?
We're going to have the biggest blowout.
Patrick wants to put a hot dog stand up there and sell hot dogs. He'd like to do that every weekend. So
I'd like to get flush toilets, high-speed internet, handicap access.
Right behind us is the Gunnar Anderson Park. We would probably have something there, and there's a covered pavilion there. That we could put some food or drinks or whatever we wanted to have, and then maybe we could use the lawn for seating. So that's on the plans.
I'm thinking bigger, Bob. Q Center.
guys, thank you so much again. Really appreciate it. That was a pretty sweet grotto, Dan. Our second grotto. There's our host driving off. They were great. They were nice guys.
I really did like the fact that, I think I said this a couple times, that it seems like there's such a big community effort to in all aspects of this. It's very low. You know, when they cite the specific dollar amounts and stuff like that, it's very low, personal. Like, you know, there's nobody like Elon Musk stepping in with $1 billion. It's all just community.
Just the way they've taken care of the ground around it. They even designed the creek for optimal babbling.
Yes, he said they put little boulders in or little rocks in. Yeah,
optimal babbling. They really have thought this out nicely. It's a beautiful place.
It is very pretty and very contemplative. You know, I mean, I guess that's
unless the neighbor's mowing his lawn.
Yeah, you can still do it, or whatever that is.
Sweet. All right.
So this is our second.
That was awesome.
Our second grotto.
Yeah, if you know another secret grotto hidden somewhere that
or
nobody knows about,
of any kind, you can contact us at rocks@niu.edu.
U.
You put the U in EDU. Do they? Anyway.
Let us know what we should explore next.
This was fun, Spencer. Miss you, Sue.